You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Rizdahl. So look, first of all, stocks go down too. Granted, not always so much so fast, but also they have been going up for a very long time now. And the COVID-19 news is alarming. But there's context to be had here, right? So we are going to do what we did yesterday, which is to say we're going to get Andrea Eisfeldt on the phone. She is a professor of finance at the Anderson School out at UCLA. Thanks for coming on again.
Thanks for having me.
So we talked yesterday, as I mentioned. Your gut reaction was, oh no, yesterday. As you watched today unfold, a more considered thought?
Yeah, I watched today and I thought, you know, I think people have been looking for good news for so long. They're still looking for good news, but they're reevaluating fundamentals. And I actually think that's a good thing. We had tax cuts, we've had low interest rates, we've had a strong consumer sector, but we want to make sure we're looking at fundamentals and not really trading based on sentiment. So I think this, I think the reevaluation of fundamentals is a good thing for markets.
It's a little painful though.
It is a little painful. Yeah, at a personal level, it's painful, but I think we have to abstract from the personal pain and really look at it as a scientist. You know, we want our asset prices to reflect fundamentals, so we actually should be happy when we feel like markets are acting rationally. We might have a little bit of an overreaction here. We have to see yet, you know, how much pain we have to go through with the coronavirus and its ultimate implications.
Right.
But at the same time, I think we don't want to trade on happiness and positive sentiment alone.
Fair enough. But that said, though, I'm going to do a quick behavioral economics thing here with you. You know how when the stock market goes up, there's this thing called the wealth effect, and everybody pretty much feels better because, oh, look, the stock market's up. What do you suppose it bodes for consumer confidence in this economy, which we say all the time is so critical, when something like this happens?
Yeah, I do think that there's certainly a negative wealth effect. We have to remember that, you know, less than half of the American population Yep. actually owns stock. But those wealthy people do have a large impact on the economy. And I do think that they will be feeling a little bit less wealthy after these last 2 days.
You busy about this time tomorrow if we need you?
I would love to talk tomorrow, Kai.
Andrea Eisfeldt is a professor of finance at the Anderson School out at UCLA across town. Professor, thanks for your time. I really appreciate it.
It was great to be here.
Okay, so to the epidemiological news here. The Centers for Disease Control said today it is not a question of if the coronavirus starts spreading here, but when, which is alarming. But the Department of Health and Human Services said that it'll have a vaccine in human trials in about 6 weeks, which seems quick. But there is a medical supply chain disruption question here to be asked about the coronavirus. Marketplace's Justin Ho is on that one.
Pharmacist Meyer Davidoff at the New Jersey-based Invictus Pharmacy has been getting a lot of calls from patients lately.
And of course, we do reassure them, tell them that everything's fine as of now.
Davidoff says most of the calls are people asking about respirator masks and flu vaccines. But pharmacists are concerned that if the coronavirus outbreak continues, it could start disrupting the drug supply chain, says Doug Hoy, who runs the National Community Pharmacists Association.
China controls the raw active ingredients for numerous antibiotics and other drugs.
Also, generic prescription drugs used to treat blood pressure and diabetes. And it's difficult for pharmacies to predict which drugs could be affected, says Nicolette Lewis-Saint, the executive director of the nonprofit Healthcare Ready, which helps link pharmacists to drug suppliers. She's been tracking drug supply chains amid the coronavirus outbreak.
For many products and many classes of products, the supply chain looks different. So it's really hard to create a broad stroke assessment of the potential shortages or just challenges that patients may see.
The FDA says it's asked drug manufacturers to let it know if they anticipate any disruptions because of the coronavirus. And it says companies haven't reported any shortages yet. Ashish Jha at the Harvard School of Public Health says that's because the supply chain has some built-in safeguards.
For instance, if there's a pharmaceutical company in India that's, you know, manufacturing a drug where they get the active ingredient from China, those pharmaceutical companies in India often will stockpile a lot of that active ingredient.
And in the U.S., pharmacies have built-in safeguards as well. Meyer Davidoff at Invictus Pharmacy again.
We always have at least 2-3 months of any chronic medication the patient might have.
Davidoff says if there's a shortage, pharmacists could work to help patients find alternative drugs in the meantime. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.